Sport on Highland, brought to you in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Go the distance with a great range of running shoes, sports gear and accessories at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score here on Highland. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll hear from Brendan Kilcoyne with his views ahead of round two of the Donegal Senior Football Championship this weekend. Gavin Cullen joins us to talk League of Ireland soccer, and Alec McDonald has a rundown on how the North West clubs have done so far at the start of the new rugby season. And it's with Gaelic Games we begin. Round two of the Donegal Senior Football Championship, of course, takes place this weekend with a further eight games down for decision. St Michael's play Guidoor, Milford take on Ardra, Termon play St Unans, and Bundoran take on Killybegs all on Saturday. Glenswilly meet McCools, Aroa Ballyshannon play Neve Connell, Glenfin take on St Nolls, and Kilcar will play Four Masters. Those are the four games scheduled at a senior level. And there is, of course, intermediate championships to be played as well. But we're very much focusing in on the senior championship. And the talk today is not about those eight games, but it's about what is going off the field in relation to two senior clubs. The CCC last night upheld Bundoran's objection to the result of Ardra's win against them in the opening round. The CCC have followed suit with their decision taken just weeks ago with the 2020 county final and instructing the game to be played again as they deemed more than five substitutes were used during the course of the match, which was won by Ardra at Pierce Memorial Park. Now, Ardra have the right to appeal and this could rumble on for a number of weeks yet. But if the 2021 championship is to continue properly come the quarter-final and relegation knockout stages, a result will need soon, or there could possibly be a delay to the championship. There's a lots of ifs and buts around that situation at the moment, and it's just a case now of seeing what's going to happen in the next couple of days. Ardra do have up to 72 hours to appeal. To discuss that situation and look ahead to the eight senior football championship games this weekend, earlier today I spoke to former winner of the Dr. Maguire, Brendan Kilcoyne. He won it as a player and a manager with St Unans. What is going on with Bundoran and Ardra? Brendan is saying that it's not what the championship needs again.
We spoke before about the previous objection with Kilcar and Neve Connell county final from 2020 and the legacy that that may leave for a long time. And again, I'm speaking from experience here. And, you know, it's just unfortunate this Ardra Bundoran issue has arisen. And again, it's a similar issue, but dissimilar, if you understand me, in relation to the use of substitutes. And it's something that needs to be tidied up by clubs and county boards and CCCs. And because it can leave it, this could drag on for a while. And, you know, if Ardra decide to appeal this now, where does that leave this year's championship? It's going to stall the whole thing. It's just going to create more uncertainty, more bad vibes, and it's not good for Donegal club football, Ashing.
Yeah, Ardra are obviously considering their options and they have 72 hours to appeal this decision. But the rest of the clubs, I'm sure, Brendan, will be thinking to themselves, what's going to happen in 3 weeks' time when we get round four done and dusted and the championship then splits into knockout, quarterfinals and relegations? And what sort of bearing will this situation have on the championship progressing at that stage if it's not done and dusted?
Well, that's the issue, and no one knows that, Oisín, that this drags on for a while, because, you know, we have that split coming, top eight, bottom eight coming in the next few weeks following the completion of the first four round-robin games. And if this issue isn't resolved at that stage, the whole championship can only be held up, and that just drags things out. And as I say, I was involved in a similar situation back, I think it was 2003, when there was an objection to Eddie Brennan. That delayed the championship and it wasn't played until the following Easter, I think it was played. And, you know, it takes the sparkle off the championship. It takes the momentum. We were all enjoyed being out at the games the last couple of weeks and seeing teams compete and seeing the club players, you know, who have had a tough enough time. Their football has been limited and there's been no crowds for a while. And this just brings more uncertainty to the whole completion of the championship. But I suppose, you know, teams just have to concentrate on the games in hand that are coming up this weekend, and that's all the players can do and the management teams can do, and just get on with it, and hopefully this thing will resolve itself out over the next few days.
Yeah. Looking at the other games, or the matches, Brendan, this coming weekend, rather, that Ardragh and Bundoran are featuring, and Ardragh are due to go to Milford. Bundoran are set to host Killybegs in a big battle of the south of the county. I'm sure Milford and Killybegs will be hoping that what's going on off the field is going to affect these two teams on it.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, we'd say Milford, you know, they're playing Ardragh this weekend, and they're under a bit of pressure as it is, Oisín, from the point of view, you know, they lost their first game, and I don't think the scoreline did them justice down in Gidor that day. I think there was a couple of missed penalties in that, and, you know, coming up against Ardragh now, who are kind of on a crest of a wave after a really good victory in the first game. So, you know, beating Bundoran. But, you know, Milford are at home this weekend. They're struggling, and we've seen them last year. We've seen them ship a heavy beating last year in the last couple of years at, you know, in the knockout stages and that. So it's a big game for Milford. They've plenty of quality, and you look at the Barretts, like you look at Cian Barrett, full forward, fine player and really going well, and Chippy, and you look at the Tony McNamee in their ranks now, and, you know, Cal McGettigan is excellent on the frees, and Luke Barrett, centre-back, and the two O'Donnells, Owen O'Donnell and Rory O'Donnell, who captained the 20s of this year's Ulster final. Like, they have a lot of good players, but they just need to go out and perform, and it's a big ask for them. And then you look at the Ardragh side of things. How is this going to affect them mentally, their preparation for this game? There's no doubt about it. Like, you know, and I've been involved in these situations. It does affect. Now, they can take a positive effect from it, but, you know, it does stop their momentum somewhat from the point of view that they've been on a crest of a wave after getting a win the first day, and then this news comes through and it filters through to the players, and they're thinking, ah, where's this going to end up? So it's not an ideal scenario for them. And I think just the fact that Milford have home advantage, and I'd expect a bit of a kickback from them. I know Paddy McGrath had carrying an injury, and they've had a couple of other injury problems. And again, they're blooding a lot of new players. They've, you know, but there's still plenty of experience with Conor Classen, Thomas Boyle, John Ross Molloy, and obviously Paddy McGrath, if he's fit to play this weekend. And that'll obviously have a big bearing on how this game transpires. But I would expect Milford to, you know, show a bit of resoluteness and come through and maybe get their campaign on the road this weekend, Oisín.
Okay, what about Bundoran and Killybegs? Bundoran obviously are going to be missing Paul Brennan because he was sent off, wasn't he, the last day? And the likes of Killybegs have huge doubts over Owen Bann and Hugh McFadden, who are their two key men. So this one could go either way, so it could, Brendan.
Yeah, 100%. And, like, you know, you're thinking about this game, it was difficult to call. It'd be difficult to call at the best of times, but the uncertainty around, you know, the fitness and availability for Killybegs of Huey and Owen Bann is going to be a crucial factor here. So it is, because, you know, Huey McFadden is the life and soul. I've watched them play over the last number of years, and he's their leader on the middle of the park, and he really does inspire them. And if he's not available, it's going to be a big miss. So it is. And, you know, then you have the Bundoran issue. Jamie Brennan is out with a long-term injury. And Paul Brennan, I don't know, were Bundoran appealing that card or what his availability? So the game would have been hard to call, but you have the four big players, the four major characters in this game that may not be available. So it is really a difficult one to call. There's plenty of other talent on the field of that, there's no doubt. And, you know, Killybegs are, you know, they'll be reeling from the first day when they lost at home to Glen Swilly, when they would have expected to get a brighter start to their championship. But, you know, they didn't produce the goods against Glen Swilly that day. And as I mentioned, the doubts about the injuries to the two key players leave it really difficult to call. And I really can't call this one, Oisín. I'm just going to sit on the fence and call it a draw.
Okay. The tie of the round, undoubtedly, is down at the Bridge. St Michael's against Gwydor, two Division 1 sides are clashing in the first game, 2:00 on Saturday. That one starts at St Michael's going in with a win. Gwydor going in with a win. St Michael's will obviously be looking for improvement on last year, while Gwydor will be looking to get back to a final. So they will, Brendan.
Yeah, 100%. And You know, it's a massive, I see this as a massive game for Guy Doran and how they progress through the year. And, you know, Michael certainly won't have any inhibitions about taking on Guy Doran down the bridge from the point of view that, you know, they've had a close rivalry with them down through the years, whilst not achieving, obviously, what Guy Doran have achieved. We all know the talent that's in Guy Doran. It's unlimited. Like, you know, there's some really good young players coming through as well as that. You look at Donal McBride and, you know, you have Finnan Coyle that came through from Donegal Minors and a few of these young fellas. But their talisman, Orie McNeilis, seems to be playing really well. And that's a big plus for Guy Doran. And if Guy Doran can get pulling in the right direction, if they can get the dressing room right, we all know how dangerous they will be and what a part they will play in this year's championship. But they're going to have a tough test down at the bridge. You know, Michael's going to be very well organised. I know Daniel McLaughlin is in charge, and I know Ramy McLaughlin, who's involved with me in the minors, very astute, and he'll have St. Michael very well set up. They have a massive experience throughout the team. You know, there's obviously Colm Anthony, who has played very little football this year and was still able to go out and kick 1-6 there in the last game and against McCool's, and the experienced Martin McElhenney. If that, you know, Michael Langan is obviously a huge player, even though he didn't score much the first day, he was involved in a lot of the big plays, so he was. And, you know, they also have a good mixture of youth there in the team too. So, you know, St. Michael's, a lot of people may have thought that St. Michael's had slipped away from the top 5-6, but they proved the last day by, that was a big, big win against McCool's, and they showed a lot of character after the concession of two early goals. So they're going to be, you know, they're going to be really going into this game with a lot of confidence. They'll have no fear, as I said, but I would still expect the experience that Guy Doran got by winning the Ulster title a couple of years ago. And they seem to be getting back on track, albeit, you know, it was Milford that beat in the first day, and we know Milford haven't been going well, but you would still expect Guy Doran to have a wee bit too much for them. And if Guy Doran are going to be a feature in this year's championship, they need to go to the bridge and lay down a marker.
Yeah. The fourth game on Saturday is Termin against St. Michael's at the Burn Road, starts at 4 o'clock, or Termin against St. Eunice, excuse me. Both sides, of course, losing, Brendan. In the opening round, St. Eunice to Kilcare. Termin went down to go on St. Noel's. Termin are meeting a St. Eunice side that will be hurting, that will be wounded, that will be bitterly disappointed losing to one of the other top four sides. But you would expect that St. Eunice are that wounded animal, and they would come through the game at the Burn Road on Saturday with ease, possibly.
You would expect so, that Junans would have too much for them. You know, Oisin, we covered the game out in O'Donnell Park there a couple of weeks ago. And like St. Junans' performance in the first half, I was so impressed with the way they played, with the way they attacked, and they had such width to their team and patience. And they're a very young side. They have a lot of experience, we'll say, up in the defence, but they have a young side, they have young forwards. And they were really good, but what was really concerning was their capitulation basically in the second half when Kilcare turned the screw. Eunice didn't have the answers, and that's a concern for Rory Cavan and St. Eunice. So it is, from a Termin point of view, we know they're building. We know that they have a very young team and they have a lot of quality players. And, you know, you look at the likes of Jamie Grant, Keelan Gallagher in defence, and you look at Darren McDade, you look at Ryan McFadden around the middle of the park. They're going to have great legs down there. And, you know, the Burn Road at any time is a tough place to go, and particularly in championship football. And they're going to make it difficult for Eunice, but I don't think they'll have enough to be able to prevent Eunice. You know, there's so much quality in this St. Eunice team. And, you know, you talk about the three O'Donnells, you know, you're looking at Niall and Shane up, you know, playing in the forwards, and their brother Connor. And you just look at the quality that St. Eunice have, and you would expect them to have too much for Termin down here. But, you know, Termin will make a battle of it, and Termin won't have any inhibitions here about playing St. Eunice, you know, because they've played them. A lot of these young Termin lads have played them at underage and actually have got the better of them through the underage ranks up through the years. So, you know, it'll be an interesting game, and I expect it to be a tough battle, but I would expect Eunice to come out with too much for Termin in the end and get their first 2 points on the board. And it's kind of like, you know, it's like a Masters weekend, or, you know, one of the golf majors weekend. It's moving weekend this weekend, and you can find yourself, you know, on 4 points or 2 points or 0 points, depending on your situation. And if you're on 0 points after this weekend, you know that you could be facing down the relegation battle kind of. So It's a massive game for both teams. It's important that St. Junan's get 2 points on the board, but equally, Termin are going to really put it up to them, so they are, Oisin.
At 12 noon is the start on Sunday for Glen Swilly against McCool's. An earlier start, that time could change between now and Sunday, but it's fixed for midday. Glen Swilly, Michael Murphy on form the last day out in their game against Killy Beggs, and they're at home. And the way McCool's played last week, you would expect maybe Glen Swilly to edge this one, would you, Brendan?
You would expect so, yeah, but I think McCool's will make them work really hard for it. And, you know, Glen Swilly, whilst it didn't have the best league campaign, they were without, you know, Michael for a lot of it through injury and his involvement in the county team. And, you know, they still have some very experienced players with the likes of Michael and Copper and Keelan Kelly and Kevin Marley at 11. And they've kind of interspersed that with a lot of good young talent. And, you know, they are in a period of transition to a degree, but they got a great victory down in Fintra against Killy Beggs the first day, and they'll be buoyed by that, and they'll get, you know, very much like I was referencing Gidor getting on a run. If Glen Swilly can get on a run and build up a bit of confidence with some of these young players they have in the ranks, you know, they've been written off too often in the past, and we've seen what they've done over the last 10 years and the achievements that they've made. So they're going to be really good. They'll be primed for this and they'll be ready for it. From a McCool's point of view, you know, they'll be disappointed because we watched them play last year down Maharagallan, where we felt they were very unlucky to lose to a Gidor team in the end, and we're probably expecting a bit more from them going into this year. And they don't seem to be optimising the use for getting out of Oisin Gallen up front. Now, I know Marty Riley was missing the last day, and he's obviously a key cog in that machine too. But, like, you know, they got a great start to the game. They got two early goals. They were in control of the game at the first water break and just kind of let it slip then. So it's going to be a big ask for them to recover from that. And, you know, again, they need to find a way to get Oisin Gallen, to get Farah on the ball and to get him causing trouble for defences, because we all know the undoubted talent he has. But if they're not getting the ball into him, which appeared to be the problem the last day, that is an issue for them. And they're going to have to look at that, and they're going to have to look at their senior players like Gary Wilson and Marty Riley, Stephen Riley. These guys are going to have to formulate a plan to try and get this man on the ball and causing trouble. But they're going to a place, you know, Glen Swilly, where Glen Swilly will be well aware of the threat he possesses. And if they can shut down that threat, they know they'll leave themselves a greater chance of victory. So that's easier said than done. But I feel that Glen Swilly would have too much for McCool's this weekend, and to get themselves on 4 points and to be really threatening to get into the top eight.
Our feature game on Sunday will be Aru Ballyshannon against Niamh Connell. That will be at Monday's Field, just across the road from Tierney Park in Ballyshannon. Can last year's intermediate champions cause trouble for the side that's been top of the pile the last two seasons, Brendan?
Well, listen, we saw Glenfinn put it up to Niamh Connell in the first round, and, you know, whilst Niamh Connell appeared to control the game for long periods, they could never get away from Glenfinn in that game. And we know how tough a tie Glenfinn are come championship football, but Niamh Connell have such a squad, and, you know, they named an experienced team the last day they brought in players that, you know, there may be a bit of a hangover from the 2020 final that was on a few weeks ago, and they may not be firing on full cylinders yet, but they still did enough to win. And, you know, I've made it clear they've such a strong squad down there, and they're going to be really, you know, there'll be no fear of complacency with these guys, because Martin Regan has them so well prepared, and they've dealt with everything that's been thrown at them for the last few years. But you have to give great credit to Aru. They've come up from the intermediate ranks and they laid down a marker. They put a huge 14-point win against Four Masters last weekend away. And so they've, again, a very good young team coming through. They've a good bit of momentum. They've got a lot of good players all over the field. They've, you know, introduced some of last year's minors, you know, Kyle Murray and Keane Rooney were two lads I was involved with myself last year with the minors, and they've introduced them into the team. And this, you know, obviously Nathan Boyle was their scorer in chief the last day. They've David Dolan playing up top, and they've a lot of really good players. Now, it's a big ask for them to be going in against a side, and this will be a real marker of where they're at. And they'll be honest enough down there. It's great to see Ballyshannon, or to see Aru back at this level of football, because, you know, Donegal County football needs, Eru are playing at this level of football. But this will give them a proper indication of where they really are at, so it will, Oisín. And it's a proper test. And as you correctly said, it's in Mundy's Field due to the ongoing works that's going on in Father Tierney Park. And, you know, they'll fancy themselves. There's a spring in their step down there. There was always a bit of arrogance, and I don't mean that in a bad way, confidence about Eru football kind of thing. And if they can, they'll be happy. They're dining at the top table again, and they'll really put a test up to Naomh Connell. But Naomh Connell just look to be able to find a way to win, to overcome all these challenges that are put in front of them. And they have done so for the last few years, and we can't forget, you know, they'll go for three in a row. So they're going to be so tuned in and so clued into this game that I feel they'll just have too much for a team that is still in transition, still learning, and that Naomh Connell should come out on top on this one with a few points to spare.
Yeah. Glenn Finnegan, St Noel's, two sides that know each other very well, playing in Division 2 this year. This is the sort of game could end up in a share of the spoils. Could it be a point apiece at the end of the day, Brendan?
Yeah, and they've had a lot of good battles over the last few years. There's a lot of familiarity here between the two teams. So they are, you know, they've been two really good sides at that level. And, you know, Glenfinn, and I've experienced, you know, this isn't just in the last couple of years. My own time involved with St. Junan's, Glenfinn, come championship football, they just have this pedigree to be able to raise their game and produce performances that garner results. And they've been so good at that down through the years. And, you know, we see Frank McGlynn's going really strong for them too. And Ross Marley in the half-back line, it gives them a good foothold. And, of course, if Gerard Ward up front then, who, you know, he's a really top player, so he is, and he get a lot of scores for them. And they really will test St. Noel's, and they have had the upper hand on St. Noel's. From a St. Noel's point of view, you know, they'll be going in cock-a-hoop too after taking out Termin in the first round, and they know that they can go to 4 points this weekend, so they can. And, you know, that'll be a massive achievement for them. There's a huge carrot for them. They'll be then looking at a top eight quarter-final position, so they will. So it's a massive game for both clubs. Pádraig Mógán, like Glenfinn, will look at Pádraig Mógán as the key man here in the St. Noel setup from the point of view that they'll know that if they can curb his influence on the game, it's going to have a major impact, because he really is the man that takes them. And I know, you know, the likes of Stephen Griffin, you know, Thomas White, I know that young Coughlin got the goal the last day for them. They've plenty of other talent, that Brendan McCall at the back, plenty of other talent in the squad too. But Pádraig Mógán is the guy that will make this team tick. He's such a good footballer, and he covers, like we've seen the ground, he covers at county level, and he'll do the similar thing. But if Glenfinn can keep the reins on Pather, I would expect Glenfinn at home and with their championship pedigree and experience to maybe just edge it, Oisín.
Okay, one other game, Kilcar hosting Four Masters. That's the last game of the weekend, and it starts at 4:30. Townie's the venue. Given Four Masters' performance last week against Éireann, you wouldn't expect too much trouble to come from the Donegal Town boys against last year's beaten finalists, would you?
I wouldn't know. If, you know, listen, Four Masters, there's a lot of good work going on at underage level down there, and, you know, that they will come in a couple of years. They're just not ready, and that was evident from their performance and their display. They have a very young side, and they're coming up against a Kilcar side that, you know, last year's county finalists put in a barnstorm in second half against St. Eunan's. Like, it really was terrific, Oisín. You know, Matthew McLean kicked points from all over the place in the second half. Patrick's threat up front. And I don't see that they'll have that, you know, they'll have the tools to curb their influence on the game. And, you know, it was also interesting, the second half against St. Eunan's, that they played Ryan McHugh in a more advanced position. Is that something that they're going to look at throughout the championship this year to give them a bit more impetus up there? But Kilcar are in a good place. They'll be, you know, they were bouncing coming out of O'Donnell Park that day, because their first half performance, they'll know it wasn't good enough. Maybe again, it was a bit of a hangover from the county final and the ongoing issues surrounding that are well documented. But the reaction and the way they controlled that game in the second half was hugely impressive, Oisín. So it is a big ask for a young Four Masters team going down to Townie and to trying to look for a result. And it's hard to see how they can come away with anything here. And you would expect a comfortable victory for Kilcar if they're in the right frame of mind going into it. And they are a very well set up team with John McNulty at the helm. And they'll be well prepped for this. A lot of experience there. They won't let complacency set in, and they should account for this four Masters team pretty comfortably, you would expect, Oisin.
The draws for the third and fourth round will be then made after that Kilcare four Masters game. There's also a number of matches in the Intermediate Championship this weekend. Cluhanny to play Burt, Fanna Gaels to go on Neave Columba, Neave Wirra against Neave Ulton, Dunloe meet Mallon, Red Hughes against Neave Breed, Convoy against Buncrana. Plus, Red Hughes are also due to meet Dunloe in the game, which was cancelled last week. That's going to be held on Friday night. But just a note on one of the pace setters, Brendan, in that Intermediate Championship. Neave Columba won two games, two big matches as well, beating sides that are sort of sitting above them in the standings in the league, Clohanilly, and they had that huge one at home against Buncrana last week as well.
Yeah, massive, and they look to be the form team of the Intermediate Championship at the minute, so they do, and you know, they've been knocking on the door for the last few years. They've been unfortunate in that they've come across, they've been beaten by the eventual winners over the last number of years, Oisin, and you know, again, I spoke about, you know, Aroa Ballyshannon, from the point of view that it's good for Donegal football to see them back at senior level. And I remember when I started up, you know, here playing with St. Junans back in 97, Neave Columba were a big strike, you know, they were at their peak back then, and we actually beat them in a quarter final back in 97, you know, that great Neave Columba team. And they've been off the scene for too long, so I think it'd be great to see them back up at senior level, so it would. But they've a long way to go yet. They've some great quality there, of that there's no doubt, and they've had two massive wins. So yeah, it'll be good to see them back. And then you know Buncrana, we know what they have. They've some great talent at their disposal. And Dunloe, interestingly, have two games this weekend against Red Hughes. And again, I just want to pass my sympathies to the family of Joe Carlin and his unfortunate passing there last week. And for that reason, Dunloe now have two games on both on Friday evening and Sunday. So Dunloe will be a strong feature in this intermediate. It's a really, really interesting intermediate championship. And I think, you know, you're looking at the likes of obviously Neave Columba, Clohanilly, Buncrana. You know, there are teams there that will be looking to make their mark this year and to really push on. And it's a very open championship. Clohanilly, you know, I know Jason McGee didn't play last weekend. Can he be available to struggle against Fanna Gaels? But there's nothing surprising about that from the point of view. There's obviously a huge rivalry there, and they've had really tight games down through the years. So there are some really good games there, and this will really get interesting when it boils down to the last eight, the last four to Oisin.
Yeah, it certainly will. Listen, Brendan, as always, thanks for joining us. Good to talk to you.
No problem, Oisin. Thank you.
That's Brendan Kilcoyne, who spoke to me earlier today. Just a change to one of those games. St. Michael's against Gwydor starts at 3 o'clock now and not 2 o'clock as earlier stated. And with the delay of that game, or with the game put back an hour, we're going to make that our feature game now this weekend. Full live match commentary from just after the 3 o'clock news from St. Michael's against Gwydor. There has been a number of changes to the other games this weekend. In relation to the Intermediate Championship, the match between Red Hughes and Neave Breed will now start at 1 o'clock. The Junior B game between Robert Emmetts and Downings has changed from Sunday to Friday evening, starts at 6:30. And Moville have withdrawn from the Junior B Championship, so their scheduled game is off and the points will be awarded to Uris. Other games penciled in for Friday in the Intermediate Championship in Group 2, Dunloe against Red Hughes tomorrow night starts at 8:30. And Moville are taking on Uris in the Junior A Championship. It starts at 7 o'clock. Not forget about the Derry Senior Football Championship. Action resumes on Friday night with a game in Group C. It sees Clody against Lavey, while in Group C of the Intermediate, Steelstown are up against Ballymacguigan. There is full matches, full programmes on both Saturday and Sunday as well. In the Senior Championship on Saturday, Ballinascreen against Dungiven, Swatra play Slochneil, and O'Donovan Ross and Mara Felt are up against Glen in one of the ties of the round. And the four matches rather on Sunday, Loop against Four Glen, Newbridge play Banagher, Oanrua against Ballanderry, and Ballaghy are taking on Kilray. We can't forget about the Tyrone Championship. Now, the seniors are a week or so away yet from getting up and running, but the Junior Championship starts this weekend in Tyrone, and one of the Northwest sides are playing. Erne are up against Fintana, and that one is getting underway this evening at Healy Park in Omagh. It's actually just started there at 7:30. There's also games to come tomorrow in the Junior Championship, with Drumrah against Derry Tresk and Brackville against Glenelly. Now, let's go to soccer. League of Ireland Premier Division action continues for the North West sides this coming Friday night. Finn Harps, of course, are on the road as they go to Bohemians to take on Georgie Kelly and Co. at Dalymount Park. Derry City are playing Longford Town at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium, while St Patrick's Athletic are up against Shamrock Rovers in a battle off the top two. This week on the League of Ireland chat, I was joined by former Finn Harps goalkeeper Gavin Cullen as we looked ahead to those games. First of all, myself and Gavin spoke about the cup defeat for Harps at the hands of Dundalk earlier this week. Do you think it was a missed opportunity by the Harps, given everything that was going on around Dundalk this week and injuries and COVID and not going well in the league? Maybe was it a missed opportunity for them?
Yeah, certainly was. Like as I say, Dundalk aren't the force they were a couple of years ago. Harps are above them in the league. They've got a few good results this season against them as well. So after coming from behind with 10 men and getting a great result on Friday night, you would expect Harps would have gone down there with their tails up and sensed a real opportunity to possibly get the semi-final and then maybe get the final this year in the FA Cup. So I'd say the way the game panned out and watched the game myself, they've left disappointed, losing an extra time, you know.
Yeah. How do you think the legs will be on Friday night? Because Ollie alluded to it after the game on Tuesday, that when you play five games basically in a fortnight, it can be telling on the legs, and then you throw in extra time as well. So how big a factor is that going to be come Friday night against Bowes, Gavin?
Oh, it will be, surely. I know Bowes played Monday night as well, but Bowes are a lot of full-time players, although Harps have some full-time players. They're not all full-time. There's a lot of them working as well. So it is a big test, you know, going to they played Dundalk Tuesday night and they're travelling home, then going to work on Wednesday morning again, and they'll probably get one recovery session done in between, not much training. So he is right. It's a big test, and Harps squad at the minute, since they've lost a few during the summer, is light. So it is. So he hasn't a real lot of options to make a lot of changes. So it will be a big test, and Bowes will be slightly fresher because of the full-time squad.
Yeah, but at the same time, in saying that, they know that they can go on the road and take a win against some of the big sides, Gavin, so they're doing.
They certainly can, although I think away to Bowes earlier on the season is probably the heaviest defeat of the season. Bowes, I think, was 4-0. If I remember, Bowes are capable of scoring goals of exciting attacking players. And it will be a dangerous game for Harps, but at the same time, you never rule Harps out of getting a result anywhere at the minute.
More goals from Sean Boyd would be good. He's sort of on form at the minute, isn't he?
He is. He's fairly silenced his critics. I know a lot of Harps fans are fairly critical of him, even coming back and signing for the club, but he's only a young lad. He obviously can play a bit, judging by what he's done the last week. A couple of his goals were absolutely brilliant, and he's excited the crowd, so hopefully he might get a wee run now and maybe show them what he can do.
Yeah, and of course on the other side of things, on the Bowes end, you've got Mr. Georgie Kelly, who continues to go on scoring spree, so he does in matches.
Yeah.
He grabbed a couple the last night against Derry, so he did, or he got the goal that levelled things up for Bowes the last night against Derry.
Yeah, it was like the equalising goal he scored was absolutely brilliant. They take that ball in his chest inside the box under pressure and swivel and turn and strike the ball the way he did. It shows a man on form. He's been brilliant this season. I think he's fulfilling all his potential. We all sort of knew he had it over the years. Coming from Derry, he was a great number nine, good striker, back to goal striker. Again, got his move to UCD, then Dundalk, where he never really came to the fore. Whereas now at Bowes with the run and the way they play, it suits him and he's starting to score a lot of goals. He's been the best striker in the league this year, no doubt. And I'm sure the rumours are going about at the minute about him going to Derry next season. Looks good, and it would be nice to see that happening, to be honest.
Yeah, he's certainly in fine form, but of course, all sorts of rumours about him coming back to Derry. I see Michael Duffy's linked with Derry as well.
Yeah, the two of them are heavily linked, and yeah. I even heard yesterday that they're sorted. So I don't know if Patrick McLean going back to it. It's a very exciting times at Derry at the minute, you know.
Yeah. Now what about Derry this weekend? Longford Town would be a game that you would expect Derry to win, given they've got that home advantage against the bottom side.
Yeah, you would. Derry have been nothing short of brilliant since Roy Higgins took over. Same squad of players. There's an energy about them. There's a confidence about them. And to get up to the top four in the league from where they were, and we discussed it ourselves, that like I never seen them finishing above Harps at that stage of the season before Rory took over. So it's a credit to him and his staff, the way they've turned things around. And at the minute, they're a match for anybody, and I would fully expect them to take a 3 points there.
Yeah. Derry currently sitting, look, just looking at the table, they're what? They have 39 points, and the top two have 56 and 50. So there's an 11-point gap to the top two there for Derry. Right. They may close that before the end of the season, but do you think if they were to add the likes of Georgie Kelly and Michael Duffy, that 11-12-point gap to the top can be closed next year?
Yeah, look, there's, I suppose, a lot has been said with Phil Bernardi and the sale of his business and the investment to Derry at the minute. So there's talk that they want a league within the next 3 years. I fully expect them to, with the players they've been linked with and the possible finance at their disposal, that they'll probably be looking to go and give the league a go next season. The players you're talking about there would improve any side. Adding the fact that they are local as well, it does help that a little bit. So look, it is exciting times, and if Derry get back to where they should be as a football city and a club, look, it'll be only great for the area and general up here, you know.
Yeah, well, the current side that's leading the way in the league are the defending champion Shamrock Rovers. They're taking on St Patrick's Athletic this weekend, so it's the top two doing battle here. Gavin, is the gap going to stay at 6 points? Is Rovers going to go 9 ahead, or are St Pat's going to be able to pull it back to 3? Where's this one going to go?
Good question. I think a one or a draw for Rovers, and you're probably looking at them going on and finishing and winning the league. I think if St Pat's have to go all out for the 3 points, if they do, and they have title aspirations, then it could be an instant run-on. But as I said all season, and I don't see it any different, I can't see past Rovers winning this league this year. And I think they will do whatever it takes to get the league title. And
Waterford against Drogheda United. This is a game that I'm sure the Harps management and supporters will be keeping a very close eye on, because Harps are stuck in between the two of them in seventh position. Yeah. Harps 4 behind Drogheda, and they are 4 ahead of Waterford. So I would say an outcome of the share of the spoils in that one would keep everybody involved with Fun Harps happy, so they would.
It probably would, yeah. It probably would, or even a draw out of victory to keep Waterford down. But Drogheda have been a bit of a free fall recently. So like they could be caught up on this at the minute. And Waterford, along with Harps, have put two great runs together, which you would have wrote Waterford off a few months ago. They've been very good and look a good side now, as of Harps. You know, and that's brought Dundalk right into the equation, which it's hard to believe at the start of the season. Nobody would have guessed that. But they're in real danger of the playoff position at the minute as well, the way things are going.
Yeah, I was listening to Oisin Langan on his podcast, his League of Ireland podcast. He was talking to Finn Harps player Sean Boyd, and he asked the question, he's looking up or he's looking down? Now, Sean would answer it in such a way that they take each match as it goes, as it pans out. If there is an opportunity to look up, that they will. Which way do you think they're looking, Gavin? Up or down?
with Ollie in charge, I think they're always looking down. And that's been drummed into them. But look, I think generally if Harps stay up, it's an achievement most seasons. Earlier on the season, I thought they had an opportunity to push on, which they obviously went in the run of poor results in mid-season and sort of derailed them a bit. But look, you would like to say, yes, let's finish in the top six or whatever. But I think if push comes to shove and Harps stay up by a point at the end of the season, I think it's job done again.
Yeah. Two other teams playing, they're meeting at Oriel Park, Dundalk against Sligo Rovers this coming weekend as well. Gavin, Dundalk's focus, I'm sure, is going to be, from a European perspective, won the cup again. That's what they need to do if they are going to achieve that. But they also need a couple of wins in the league too, so they do.
They do, surely. They obviously have to stay in the league. Like it isn't fathomable for them and the budgets and the monies involved that they could even be near relegation, but they are. They obviously have a chance in the cup. They're now in the semi-final, and they probably are a match for anybody on the day. But look, if the worst case scenario and they do end up in a playoff, I'd say they would be still too strong for anybody in the first division. But it would be. On a knife edge, and it would be per season for Dundalk if it ended up like that.
Yeah, I know we were talking about rumours earlier in the piece about players going to Derry City. There's also rumours that the Peak Six group that own Dundalk may be selling up this year. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Or are they looking at their investment now and going to themselves, why did we bother getting involved in this?
I would say you're possibly right with that statement. There's rumors this week that as a Stat Sports are in talks with taking over Dundalk. So look, I suppose it's always good when there's money or anything invested in the League of Ireland and clubs, but there's always that danger too when these investors are people that sort of, you know, they get fed up or they don't see no returns, which there predominantly never is in the League of Ireland. And then they leave. What shape do they leave the club in? No, and Dundalk haven't really improved facilities or stadium or stuff like that. So there's a danger of that as well. I know there's a few clubs over the years that have had investment, and then the investment pulled out, and the clubs struggled and went bust at times. So there is a danger of that. But look, hopefully they do get new investors or new owners, and they do push the club on with the right focus within the club, you know.
Yeah. Finally, then, just back to the Harps, obviously on the road against Bowes. Is the game on Friday night a fixture that Finn Harps are capable of winning, Gavin?
I think Harps are capable of turning over anybody in the league this season. Now, at Dalymount, Bowes and the Farm, they underscored three against Derry last night. They're forwards on fire. They're well organised, good side, and they're obviously pushing for Europe as well. So it's a tough ask, and as I say, if you asked Harps now, they would take a point because of the games they've had and all. But you never say never, like refereeing decisions, you know, a bit of luck or whatever, and they could beat them. But look, I would safely say Bowes are going to be favourites, and if Harps get anything out of the game, they'll be happy.
That's former Finn Harps goalkeeper Gavin Cullen on the League of Ireland talk this week. Our final segment on the score this week is around rugby in the North West sides in Ulster Premiership 2. There's a big derby. The City of Derry take on Oma this coming weekend. And also on Saturday afternoon in Championship 3, Letterkenny are playing Hollywood and Strabane against Newry. This week I've been speaking to a man who's all about rugby and in particular sides in the North West, Alec McDonald, about the season has been so far for the North West sides. So, Alec, the new rugby season very much up and running with the North West sides playing a handful of games at this stage. But the real first big derby of the season is upon us this coming Saturday in the Ulster section with City of Derry taking on Oma. City of Derry at home. Both these sides, of course, over the last number of weeks have all been building towards the start of the AIL. So both will be looking to lay down a marker come the weekend.
They will indeed, and certainly up until this, it is really, I suppose you'd have to say, Oma has been laying a marker. They've won two of their games. A very good result away to Ballymena and Harlequins as well. Now, from Derry's point of view, they've lost their opening three games to Ballymena, Dungannon and the Bangor, which was quite a heavy defeat. But again, I mean, that's, you know, experimentation probably is the name of the game. But this game on Saturday, I think that both, you know, the teams will be looking to put out their strongest sides. The following week is the start of All-Ireland League Division 2C, and it's not the opening that probably either side would want to travel. Derry away to Tullamore, which is always a difficult game, and Oma are away to Skerries, who last year, or in the last Division C campaign, were up in the top three. So that'll be a good marker for them. Interestingly, of course, a lot of changes in coaching in the North West. Of course, as you know, Paul O'Kane has taken over now at Letterkenny. Stephen Barr, who coached at Limavady Grammar and played out half at Derry for years, he is now taking over the reins at Strabane. While Glenn Kyle, who was assistant to Brian McLaughlin at Ballinahinch, he's the man in charge at Oma. And in the Derry, Richard McCarter maintains his head coach, but Chris Cooper, who was a very strong stalwart in the second row, he's taken over the reins of coaching the forwards. And certainly it's going to be a big season for him and for Richard. So interesting to see what will happen, because new coaches sometimes come in and can lift the teams. And as you know yourself, judging by some of the results so far, it's been going pretty well.
Yeah. Just like every other sport, Alec, the pandemic affected the rugby and the running of the All-Ireland Leagues last year. And some sides will be sort of counting themselves lucky in a way that the proper leagues weren't played out, because they could have found themselves relegated out of the division. So the sort of marker is the year before now for these sides. What will City of Derry and what will Oma be looking to improve on?
Well, Omagh, they whenever the league was cut off, both Omagh and Derry, I think it was four fixtures they had to play. Omagh were in a reasonably good, safe middle order position. City of Derry were in a position where their last four games was a bit of a lottery. And to be honest, you know, whenever you looked at the way things were going, they could easily have been relegated. But as I say, thank goodness that they didn't and that. But I think from the word go now, Tullamore were a team as well who were in the bottom five. But I mean, you know, this is a big game for Tullamore as well, and Derry need to get off to a good start because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of useful sides in that league. As I said, Omagh are not going to be easy. Clonakilty, Clonmel, Enniscorthy, you know, all those sides are very, very strong. And of course, Skerries, who Omagh visit on Saturday, they will be one of the teams that you'll be looking at. So it's not an easy league, and what worries me a wee bit is that Derry are struggling a bit on the forward places, especially in the front row and the props. And you know, this Division 2C is not the most skillful side at once at Ossian. It's a side that buckles down and gets on with it and puts in 80 minutes of hard physical rugby, and that wins a lot of games. And that's something which I think City there are going to have to get used to. You know, you're going to be playing maybe in times when the weather's not that great, and certainly from the physicality point of view, it is very strong in Division 2C, because it's maybe not, but there's a lot of players there who have probably played a high standard of rugby, but maybe they're in their mid-30s enjoying their last couple of years, but they have the know-all and the wall and use that's needed for that sort of thing to go on.
Yeah, just moving away then, Alec, from the All-Ireland League, obviously a difficult start for both sides there, but Letterkenny are going not too bad in the opening weeks in Ulster Championship 3 and Ulster Qualifying 3. As you mentioned at the start, there's a new man at the helm there. Letterkenny will be looking for better and brighter things this year.
Yeah, they were actually, whenever the league came to a halt that 2 years ago or 18 months ago, they'd have put on a very, very good run. If I remember, so from Christmas, I think they only lost sort of one game in about five or six, you know, and they were on a good run, but unfortunately it was halted. And as I say, they've Paul O'Kane at the head now. They lost the first game very narrowly, but they've had two very good results, as you know. I mean, 47-14 against Belfast High School is no mean one. And as you said, they may earlier on there, they had a good away victory at Civil Service on Saturday. Now, they're home to Hollywood on Saturday, and I would be surprised that I would expect them to win that game. But if they can get 3 out of 4 to start off with, it's good. Very competitive league. I've mentioned before that Monaghan are a very, very good side, and they probably are the team that's you know, that were in pole position whenever things came to halt. Stabana, they won the first game by a point, but then they lost a couple of games. And again, I suppose it's a building process for Stephen Barr. But Letterkenny certainly will be looking now. If they can get a third victory out of 4 on Saturday, then that sets them up nicely. And I think the Monaghan game's in about 4 or 5 weeks' time. So to that stage, I would think they'll got a pretty settled side. And that could be quite a good game to watch, that one.
Letterkenny obviously chasing promotion out of Championship 3. A team that gained promotion in recent years and has been going very well this year, finally, Alec, in qualifying 2 is Limavady.
Limavady were actually, to be fair, Limavady had that one whenever the COVID-19 hit it. I mean, they were playing absolutely superb, but they've started off this season again very, very well, and they had a very good result against Carrick at the first game. And then I saw just have a noted here against Larne came down to Omagh and they were beaten 83-5, and you know, that is not the sort of scoreline that any team wants. But Limavady, certainly I would be surprised if they're not in the mix for that one, because they've certainly they were very unlucky the last time, and I would say the team's just as good from what I've heard in the squad. So it'll be interesting just to keep an eye on how they're getting on as well.
That's Alec McDonald, and that's it for another Score programme here on Highland. If you missed any of the show, you can, of course, recap on highlandradio.com. Our next bulletin is tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Championships. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.